Hello again, my name is Bill DeYoung, and this is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. Thank you so much for joining us. She is perhaps the most recognizable dancer in Tampa Bay, certainly on this side of Tampa Bay. She's been a fixture on the dance scene, which we're going to talk about the dance scene in a minute, for at least 10 years and possibly a little bit more. Her name, if you haven't guessed, is Helen Hansen French, and she's my guest today on the podcast. Hi, Helen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, we have Beacon Dance coming up Friday night, which is tonight, and at the Palladium Theater. 10 years. How does that feel to you?
It actually feels quite incredible and unbelievable at the same time. I was thinking back about year one and like how much I was freaking out on the night that we opened, and now I'm at year 10 and I'm still freaking out, but with excitement. And I just like, it feels like it was yesterday and also a lifetime ago. We had COVID in the middle, so lots have happened since we started.
Boy. Can't forget that. You and Lauren Sloan started Beacon 10 years ago, and I want to do some biographical stuff with you in a minute. Obviously, I got loads of questions, but let's talk about Beacon right now at the start of the program. It is, as we say, an annual dance performance. It's not really a company, though.
It's not a company.
Yeah.
I think when I think of Beacon, and when I hope people attach Beacon to, is community. And when you think about the diversity of the dance community we have in the Tampa Bay area, and you think about Beacon, I want you to think, oh, I see all of that on the stage at Beacon. So it's like an infrastructure or a platform that showcases and supports our dance community.
Is it like a Whitman sampler of, you know, over at the USF dance people do this?
It's and like Project Godiva Alchemy does at that. Its best. It's like the best sampler.
Okay,
you can have.
Okay. Yeah, it's a Godiva chocolate sampler. When you and Lauren started Beacon, I mean, what was the idea then? Was it basically, I mean, there are dance companies, but there's not a big central ballet company that does, you know, monthly performances. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's hit or miss, but it's a lot of miss. There's not enough dance here. And you and I've discussed this many times. What was the idea back then? There's so much talent here. Let's get it all together in one place. Was that it? Don't nod. You gotta say it.
That was partly it. Yes. There's so much talent here. How does everyone get to see it? And partly it was addressing a concern or a problem that we saw, which was producing dance. Mm-hmm. Producing dance can be expensive. It is something that requires technical time. The performing arts can be expensive on the production side, if you will. And so selling out a theater is not always going to be, like, that's not where you're going to make your money. So Lauren and I were responding to the needs of our dance community, which was a platform or a place to show their work, a place to be experimental with their work, to try something new, and also to free up dancers and creators from having to do the producing side. So like Lauren and I can broker all of that.
Oh, sure.
And then
just show up and be creative.
And really, like, that's kind of like the best gig if you think about it. I hope, like, hey, show up and do your thing and we are supporting you 100%. So that was where that came from. And we also wanted to create something new, something that didn't exist here in St. Petersburg or in the Tampa Bay area at the time. Certainly dance did exist, but how to see it didn't necessarily, like you mentioned earlier, it was kind of hit or miss. And we wanted something that you could say, Beacon is every year. When is it happening? I want to be on it. I want to be in the theater. I want to support it. I want to buy my ticket. Whatever it was, we wanted it to be something that people could look forward to.
Is that what has happened? Has it been wildly successful for a decade?
It has. I mean, wildly successful for a decade sounds amazing.
You're smiling.
I am smiling.
That feels good.
It is successful, I think, from a few different viewpoints, and it depends on how you how you want to measure success.
Sure.
If you want to talk about bringing a community together around the arts, specifically dance, to celebrate the joy of the moving body, like, yes, we've been wildly successful. Mm. Giving younger artists like a chance to start or try something new, wildly successful. Introducing our audiences to people they might never have seen before, wildly successful. Selling out 700 seats, we're halfway there, so we're halfway wildly successful. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we have succeeded with what we set out to do.
It is the whole Whitman sampler, not Whitman's, I'm sorry,
Godiva
sampler. I mean, that seems to work because there's a lot of different, I don't know what's the word, disciplines. There's a lot of different styles of dance here.
Sure.
Can you talk about some of the things that you've done over the years, and then let's go into tonight's thing?
Sure. So you can see different dance styles from classical aesthetics, so think maybe classical ballet to more classical modern styles like Graham and Lamone, things that come out of that lineage, to more experimental work, which comes out of improvisational techniques, experimental music maybe. That's been on the program over the years. We've had film, we've had live stream during the show while a piece is happening. We've had durational works that lasted like an hour pre-show and continued into the opening of the evening. So I think what we've always tried to do is, if you have an idea and you're a dance artist, we want to keep saying yes to you. Like, I love Bob Devin Jones because he's always said, keep saying it. Like, the answer is yes. The yes man. And I think that that model works very well. Keep saying yes to great artists who want to make work, and you're going to get great work.
You know, that's the thing that has always intrigued me about Beacon, is that it is very much like a sampler. Like, there are different forms and different approaches. Don't you think, one of the things I talk with opera people about is there is that universal perception that opera is, you know, Wagner and the horns and, you know, and all of that. And opera is so much more than that.
So much more, yeah.
Do you think people think, oh, a dance, it's a recital, they're all in tutus and they're doing Swan Lake?
I do. I think people have an idea that maybe it's not for them, or they won't get it, or if they don't get it, something's wrong with them. And I beg to differ. I really want to challenge that perception, because I think when you see a moving body, there is something that you can connect to. You might not get the story that the choreographer wants, or maybe there is no story. Mm-hmm. The choreographer isn't trying to make a story happen for you. But there's something about being in community with a moving body that, I mean, we've all cried, we've all laughed, we all sneezed, we all suffer, we all have sorrows and joys. I think when you watch a body embody that, there's something you can connect to. And it's okay if you don't get it. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about our Beacon audiences. Like, we have taken them to some crazy places. They have seen some stuff where, like, what is that lamp doing on the stage with a tree and then this thing? And somehow it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't get it, but I got it.
Yeah.
So,
well, if it speaks to you, that's the way I feel about art. I mean, I'm not an art connoisseur, and I'm not an expert in anything particularly. But if it speaks to me, then I consider it a success. I made a connection.
Yeah, with absolutely. It. And connection is so important.
And I've made a few connections with opera, too, over the years. So nobody saw that coming. You're a hometown girl.
I am.
You are indeed.
I am. Born and raised.
And at some point, you went to New York.
I did.
And you got a degree from Juilliard.
Yep, that's which my is, undergrad degree. Yeah.
Okay. So you were in New York for a few years.
Yeah, I was in New York for I lived in New York for about 13 years, and then I continued to go back and forth for another few years. So I always say, I don't know, I was a New Yorker for about 15 years, and then I kind of lost my New Yorker card because I was more not going back as often as I used to.
Were you professionally dancing up there? Were you gainfully employed?
Employed. Yes, I was. I feel like I graduated Juilliard in 2001, and which was still a kind of a golden time when the company model, if you will, was working well.
Yeah.
I was hired by a dance company in New York called Buglisi Dance Theater. At the time, it was Buglisi Forman Dance. Mm-hmm. It's been through a few changes.
Sure.
But, and I was lucky enough, I guess it was an honor to dance with dance artists who I not only had as teachers, but who also worked with Martha Graham, who also just were instrumental in mentoring me in my career. So I had that right out of school, which I think is really rare. The landscape of dance has changed. So I stayed in New York until 2009. I got married in 2010. So it was like the end of 2009 when I came moving back to St. Pete. And then I continued to go back and forth to New York.
Back and forth to New York. At some point you said, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yes. At some point my two children sort of dictated.
Oh, they will do that, won't they? Well, was it kind of, one has to make that decision, career. It's not exactly career or family, which is sounds so ugly on the page, but can I do what I do in St. Petersburg? That's what happened to you, yeah?
It did, yes, a little bit. Can I do what I do in St. Pete? Can I do what I do with a family? Which I think is the question that all parents have, not just women, but I mean all parents.
With a family.
With a family. Right. Can I do this with my family? And arts, making art is not a 9-to-5, as any artist will tell you. It doesn't fit that model. But I did have to make that choice. And I think my choice was, yes, I can do it. How does it look for me? How am I going to make that work for me? What does that mean for my family? I have deep roots here. I have family coming out my ears in St. Pete. So I have help. I have support. And I have they understand. They've known me. I've danced my whole life. They're like, oh, yeah, she's dancing.
Well, at some point, you have to look around and say, there isn't a big support system for dance here in St. Petersburg. And that's kind of what I meant. Can I make this work? You know, is there enough of an outlet for what I do and the collaborative nature of the things that I want to do here? How important was it meeting Lauren Sloan?
It was very important and very timely. I actually met her through, well, we were in high school at the same time, only I'm a little older than her. And we were reunited through Sharon McCammon, who is also part of our Beacon producing team. And meeting Lauren and what the gifts she brings to the table, not only as a dance artist herself, but she kind of has this I don't want to say like archival eye, or she can see work that needs to be made, or she can talk back to you about your work and give you a perspective that I think is very, very needed when you're talking about curating a show. And she's also like the biggest cheerleader for dance I've ever met in the world. Like her jobs, she was formerly with Map Fund and now she's with Young Arts, and it's all about supporting artists. And so she brings this really international perspective to Beacon, which is unreal.
How does your methodology contrast, you know, and complement hers?
We both always say yes.
Put you on the spot there.
I know. I think that the things that Lauren is amazing at administratively, we always say like, I'm the boots on the ground. Like I love St. Pete. I'm here all the time. Like I want to say yes to people. I want to meet people. I want to get involved. And Lauren's always like, hey, you go do that thing. She and I complement each other in that way, whereas like I'm the kind of the boots on the ground lady, if you will. We're both still making work. Our dance aesthetic is also very different. We come from the same background, but what comes out of us is very different. So I think that also lends a different eye to when we're curating an evening.
And it's worked for 10 years.
It has worked for 10 years. Every year we pinch ourselves. We're like, did we really just do that? Are you serious? We did it again.
I'm interested too in the early days of Beacon, in the early days when you said, we're going to do this. Is it sort of like a moth to a flame? Did all these dance people sort of come out of the trees, if you will, and say, oh, somebody's doing this. Finally.
I think a little bit, yes. Yeah? I think once you get the word out, the dance community is so small. So it's in that way, you don't have to spread, you know, it doesn't have to spread very far until you've gotten a handful of people that are interested, or, you know, 30 people that are interested. So it is that, and it's kind of that if you build it, they will come kind of at,
right.
And we have felt just from day one, Paul Wilborn at the Palladium just saying yes to something he knew historically has not always made him money. Like producing dance is not always going to be a moneymaker.
Sure.
It's not the only thing that's not a moneymaker, but it, you know, he has said yes every year and has continued to support us. And like, I think he just loves Beacon. I mean, who doesn't love dancers in their theater? Like, I don't know anyone that
does. If I had a theater, that's what I'd want to do. You know?
So I think we built it with Paul and the Palladium, and people keep coming.
Can we talk about tonight's program?
Sure.
And I don't have any notes here, so I have no prompts. I want you to tell me who's working, who's doing what.
I will tell you
off the top of your head. You have no notes either.
I don't have any notes, but I hope I know it because I just finished all the contracting and program proofreading you could possibly want to do.
Last minute, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this year's program does have, at last count, involved 35 artists, if you count our stage managers and lighting designers, and those are artists in their own right. So I always count them because that to manage a company or manage a show is an art.
Stage managers,
lighting designers, our sound crew.
Yes.
Unreal. We couldn't do it without them. But we do have two companies on the program, Project Alchemy, which is Alexander Jones's company, which is based in St. Pete. He's bringing back a work that I also believe is 10 years old, and he has re-envisioned it. It's called Sound High, and it has 10 dancers in it, and it's wild. It's amazing. It's
Alex
fun.
Is an amazing talent.
Yes. And speaking of amazing talent, I get to work with Alex. He and I created a new work.
I have pictures of the two of you dancing from 7 or 8 years ago. Yeah, together.
Actually, Together is the name of the duet we created for this year.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So, Sound High, Alex's company's Project Alchemy's work, opens the show and Together closes the show.
Wow.
So, and our duet is new. It's a premiere, and it kind of riffs or plays with our other two previous duets called Drift and Doors. And we love dancing together, and I think I won't give away too much, but our whole goal was just to have fun on stage together. Mm. So that's what we created. And then Sarah Walston Phillips's company is Atlas Modern Ballet. Mm-hmm. It's based in Tampa, but she is on the program with a work, a trio, Epilogue, Nostalgia Revisited, I think. It is a trio, and the word epilogue is in the title.
Okay, that works. Surprise yourself to me, folks.
But it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous work. She has a very beautiful movement style, and I think having a female company represented, a male company represented, it's just important for our community to see that dynamic can work, male and females leading companies. We also have a work by Peter Chu of Chew This. And Peter was a former classmate of mine at Juilliard. We actually were there at the same time and have reconnected because the soloist in his work, Madison Bender, is a recent Juilliard grad. And so we were like, this is unreal. We can have a work by Peter on the show done by Madison, who I met when she moved to the area. Her husband plays with the orchestra, and she's here. So there's that solo called Every Breath. We have a work by Revolutions Dance Tampa, which is Dwayne Schuneman, and it's called Pulse Impulse, which will be lovely. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. We also have a dance film called Becoming, and I never can say Domenico's last name correctly, but he is a local Boy in the Rain is his. He's a composer, mm-hmm. and he made a dance film with dancer Caleb Baker.
That's great.
And that'll be on the show. And then Sharon McCammon has a work called FYP. And if you're on TikTok, you know what that stands for. I'm not on TikTok, so you'll have to come and see that tonight. And I think I think I got everyone in there. We have Madison, who's in Peter Chu's work, has her own work that she created called How Water Smooths a Stone. And it's a group work with 10 dancers as well.
I remember I think I've seen you work with John O'Leary a couple of times.
I love John O'Leary.
And yes. I just saw on Facebook today that he's going on a Mexican tour.
I saw that too. I was like, wait, you're not going to be there on Friday?
Good for him, man. And just amazing stuff. Is there any challenge you won't take yourself? I've seen you do so much disparate stuff.
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't think there's a challenge I won't take. I will say that I love moving and I love dancing, and I have seen the way dance can bring together different aspects of our community. I work at Creative Clay as a member, a teaching artist there, and actually we were having a film that they put together on the program as well. It's called Plankton Flash Mob. Okay. And it's a connection with
USF. Is that one of those TikTok things that I don't understand?
It's not a TikTok, but it's science and dance and creative clay all together. So
great.
I haven't met anything I'll say no to yet. I do think everything is worth at least considering. So, and I love our community. So
you would call 10 years of Beacon, let's go back to saying arousing success.
Arousing.
Isn't that how we started this thing? Yeah. I mean, for you personally, it's been, every year every year is a lot different,
Every year is very different. Year one, we had a much smaller program, ambitious but still small, and we were hiding photographs from backstage. So we took black and white photos during the dress rehearsal, printed them overnight, and then ran around and hid them in programs and under the seats. So if you sat down, you would have a picture of what went on yesterday in the space. And we thought that was a cool idea for people to get an insight into what it was like before they arrived.
Yeah.
And then since then, Sharon has come on board and does a lot of digital and film for us. So we've done other things like just broadcast videos during intermission or in the lobby. We've done projection mapping on the floor. We've done a bunch of different stuff just to kind of keep the audience excited and try something new.
When you mentioned photography, I, of course, thought of Tom Kramer, who was such a sweet guy and an amazing photographer. We lost him a couple of years ago. Hi, Tom, wherever you are.
I know.
That had not really anything to do with anything, but you mentioned photography.
Well, so Tom and Paula both were just huge supporters of Beacon from day one. Paula was in the first Beacon, performed in a work that I made. Tom photographed every single Beacon until his passing, and he was always, I still hear him every time I step into the theater and the lights go on and there's a photographer in the house, and I hear him go, can we get some more light for the photos? It's so dark on stage. Why do you want it so dark? And every year it would be this, we have the same conversation. Like, well, we'll turn up the intensity in a minute. We have to do the light, like the tech part of
the actual lighting for the piece. Yeah.
But, well, yeah.
His work is great, and it lives on in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. Some of this, you know, we publish it, and Tom was great. He said, anything you want, just go ahead and use it.
He was so generous that way. Absolutely.
Beacon 2025 is on stage tonight at 8 o'clock in Huff Hall at the Palladium Theater. You can find tickets at Palladium Theater. It's called, what is it called? MyPalladium.org.
Yes.
I was going to say PalladiumTheater.org. No, folks, Helen's got it. It's MyPalladium.org. Helen Hansen-French, always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to seeing you tonight in the theater.
Can we say broken legs? Do you do that with dance?
You actually say mared.
Helen, mared.
Thank you.
Have a great show tonight.